welcome to another episode of Offsides, everything NFL and NHL. Starting off the conversation with the NFL per usual here. Within the last couple of days, there's been some talks and a partnership actually went through between the XFL and the NFL, with the NFL looking to use the XFL as kind of an experimental level for rules, equipment, things to obviously try at the XFL and then implement them in the NFL if they see success from it. XFL owner Dwayne The Rock Johnson initially shut down the idea of the XFL kind of being a farm league for the NFL as far as the NFL taking players from them. Do you think this would be a good idea to implement in the future, though? Because, I mean, the NFL is that one sport that doesn't have a farm league right now. I mean, MLB, you got single A, double A, triple A. NHL has ECHL, AHL, and then NBA has a G League. Do you think the XFL should become kind of a farm league for the NFL down the road?
I don't think so, just because the game is played completely different. Obviously they're going to be like the experimental league to the NFL as far as rules. I'm basically looking at the XFL as a research and development team basically for the NFL. I know The Rock previously, before he accepted this deal, had talked about how he wants to have a worldwide league between the XFL, the CFL, and I believe they're going to start over in Europe as well, another league. I could see at that point, once they get more leagues involved, I could definitely see it being a feeder system where you do have the potential to call up guys during the year and that type of stuff. But right now, I think the XFL is too small, and it's a lot of like older guys who don't make NFL rosters that go to the XFL. So if there would be a way to like incentivize going to the XFL over maybe college, like the G League has kind of replaced that. For some of these kids who are super good out of high school, not going to college, going right to the G League and going right into the pros and working on their craft. I could see this being an alternative route like that, but it's going to take, I feel like, years down the road when there is more teams officially, but hopefully this goes well. I mean, I like what they're doing with the XFL, especially with the NFL not continuing to try things out and then it fails massively during the year and then it just looks terrible. Some of the stuff that I hope they implement is like the XFL has a guy, their cameras all like an Xbox controller, basically controlling a drone, making sure all the footage, hopefully that's one thing that carries over so that we actually get a little bit better camera footage on some of these angles as there's cameras everywhere. Let's get a little bit more live action instead of just the one pan view from up in the, you know, the same old view we've seen for 90 years. But it's going to be cool. Hopefully, you know, this is a way that it seems like the NFL wants to update. So it seems like it's a good move. And working with The Rock, one of the most successful people. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. As far as like some of the rule changes, it'll be fun to see. I know, I mean, especially with this season, it seems like there's one or two games every year where the overtime rules, everybody's like, oh, they need to be changed, they need to be changed. And this past year was the divisional round, Bills and Chiefs, as far as how that went down. Chiefs get the ball, they go down, score, touchdown, game's over, to where if they try out some new overtime stuff in the XFL, maybe try the college way of starting the 25, both teams get a shot. And then even in college football, they've kind of changed it to where you have to start going for two after so many overtimes just to kind of speed things up a little bit so you don't get to those 7, 8, 9 overtimes and games are 70-something to 70-something back and forth. And then equipment, too. It'll be interesting to see as far as what type of equipment they're looking to implement, because I'm sure the NFL has millions upon millions of dollars and a range of people that every off season and even during the season put time and effort into shoulder pads that absorb better hits, helmets that are more safe, cleats that break well enough but aren't like tearing guys' knees out. Like they already have those kind of people for that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of curious to see as far as what the XFL is going to do equipment side that the NFL could benefit from. Unless, like you said, the drone thing, bringing better camera angles, maybe on the field stuff. I'm not really sure, but I mean, looking into it, I've looked at a couple articles as far as this deal that went through, and it's pretty vague. I mean, it just happened. I mean, really early this week, like yes, Sunday, there's kind of talks of it. And then yesterday, I think it officially went through and both sides announced that they were partnering. So maybe as the week goes on, as the coming weeks come up, we'll kind of get an itinerary of this is what the NFL is looking to get out of the XFL. I mean, we're still a year out. I think it said February 2023 was when the XFL is coming back. So we're still a full calendar year away from the XFL being back, which, again, it's great, great marketing on their part as far as Super Bowl ends, XFL starts. So those people that, I mean, don't want to wait another 6 months for football, they go over to the XFL, which I know I was one of those people, but obviously it sucks when you start up a multi-million dollar company like that or reboot it and then a pandemic happens, so you got to shut it down again. But yeah, it'll be fun to see coming up in the next couple of weeks and then obviously over the next year what kind of happens with this.
Yeah, and I know you're speaking about like the equipment and stuff as well. Something that recently came out to the light, Terrell Suggs, Hall of Famer, obviously one of the greatest linebackers to play / the end. He came out and stated that when the NFL made the rule change to switch helmets to the new style helmets, concussions only went up. It was supposed to help, but it actually made things worse. And there's a huge grievance filed by Terrell Suggs. I don't know if it's public at this point or if it's private, just going after some of like the health stuff. But I know a lot of these people who have like CTE who just got done recently playing, a lot of these guys are jumping on the same bandwagon that the new helmets, all they did was look different. Like that's all it did. It's no safety, nothing. It's just looked cooler for the NFL's market. So it's like, hopefully they actually do implement some stuff that actually does help and not just, you know, do what the NFL always does. Check the box like they're caring, but only do 2% enough to actually make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I know some of the stuff that they implemented over the past few years has helped. Like kickoffs, moving it up creates more touchbacks, which creates less runbacks, which creates less two guys going 15 to 20 miles per hour running and hitting each other. So, like, there's small stuff here and there. And you'd think the helmets, I mean, they're probably 5-10 grand a pop at this point. I know in high school our helmets were like 1500 to 2000, and we didn't have top of the line helmets, so I'd imagine that NFL they're 5 to 10 times like more than that. But yeah, it's interesting. I didn't know about that as far as like concussions getting worse. You definitely think at this point they'd start going the opposite way with how much effort and time and the equipment that they're putting into it, that you think that it'd go the other way. But at the same time,
I don't think they can ever offset that just because people are going to continue to get bigger, faster, stronger.
Yeah, I was just going to say modern medicine. No way. Allows these guys, yeah. Allows these guys to be bigger and faster. Like, I feel like the technology side of things is always going to be behind because the human body is – like much in ways more is always going to be ahead of what technology they can put into these equipment without it being these guys walking around in robot suits. Like,
yeah. And it seemed like the only solution as far as through all leagues, as far as all the head trauma stuff came out, was that they're just taking away physical contact at a younger age and just pushing it off until you're a little older. Now, I don't really know what that's going to do to offset, like, the sports, because it's like you're going to have kids who would dominate until you bring in the contact, and then what? Mm-hmm. It's just like, I don't know. But hopefully it all works out, and like you said, we both agree that this is a good move for the NFL, helping out the XFL, and when you have Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I don't think he would have stepped in and taken over something that he didn't see anything working out. Just for how busy he already is with his life, and then now adding this to the plate, like, I feel like they're in good hands.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, for the success of him, I mean, he played college football, WWE, like, he's been in multiple avenues of entertainment, whether it's acting, wrestling, football, like, he's
been at the pinnacle.
Yeah, he's been there and done it all. So yeah, I'm definitely excited to see what he does with it.
Yeah, and then on to the sticking with the NFL here. Bill Belichick now is approaching 70 years old on April 16th this coming year. How many more years do you think Bill's got in the tank?
69. That guy's old.
Yep. Pete Carroll's currently the oldest at 72.
Okay. And I was just pulling up too, as far as kind of looking at the oldest coaches in history. The oldest is actually Romeo Crennel, who was the interim head coach for the Texans last year. He was 73 years old. Otherwise, there's been guys who are, 73, 72, 71, and obviously going down to 69. And then, I mean, some of the youngest guys are 30-some years old. But as far as Bill Belichick, I kind of look at, obviously, his situation with Mac Jones is going to have a big part of it. Great rookie season. I see as far as early as like 2 years, he could be gone, up to, I'd say, 5 to 7 more years. That's kind of the window. And a lot of it plays into Mac Jones as far as he went out, got him. Obviously, he's going to be investing a lot of time and effort in building the offense around him. Even though Belichick's a defensive guy, obviously, he still has a lot of say in what happens on the offensive side because he is the head coach and the GM of the Patriots, so he wears multiple hats. But obviously, the success of Mac Jones, because if he kind of hits a bit of a plateau and comes back down over the next couple of years, that's where I could see him, I mean, next year, 2 years, 3 years, calling it quits, because he had Tom Brady for 20 years. Mac Jones doesn't quite work out. Does he want to start over and invest more time to try to build up another guy? But if he gets success out of Mac Jones, potentially can get a Super Bowl as he builds him over the next 3 to 7 years. That's kind of the window I'm looking at. So I could see him easily becoming the oldest head coach ever at 75, 76 years old. But like I said, if Mac Jones kind of starts to go into decline over the next year or two, I could see him hanging it up as he wouldn't want to restart with another guy.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I'd say the window's about anywhere from 2 to, I'm going to go as long as 7 years. I think as long as this team is still good, he's going to stay around. But the second that this team falls apart or they can't keep on the verge of playoffs or making a run, he's done. Because, he's arguably one of the greatest coaches of all time. You know, 67% winning percentage, regular season all time, and postseason, you're fucking 72%. Like, you're unreal. And yeah, he's going to want to win one because Tom got one. So I feel like that is his burning desire keeping him going.
Yeah. I'm sure that has a big part of it as far as that question was always, was it Bill or Tom? Bill or Tom? And obviously, Tom showed first year out that the kind of the table leaned his way as far as he was the guy all those years. And again, has a lot to do with, I mean, Bill's a defensive guy. So it's not like Bill and Tom were sitting in a room together, putting together offensive schemes, like all that stuff. That would have been him and his quarterback coach and Josh McDaniels over the years. But But then, yeah, on the other side of it, it's like Bill focused on the defense, basically gave Tom a top 10, top five defense every year. And then Tom went out there and did what he did. So it's like comparing it's kind of like comparing MJ and LeBron. They played two different positions, kind of two different mindsets and eras and play styles. Oh, who is better? It's like you can make a case for either, but at the same time, Tom is a quarterback, Belichick is a defensive guru. It's hard to compare apples to apples in that situation when they're kind of in two different realms. But
yeah, I'd say they're yin and yang. They wouldn't have what they have without each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because you could go out there and have a top five defense every year, but if your offense can't score shit, then what's the point? And then obviously the opposite. Okay, yeah, you can score 40 points, but if your defense giving up 45, then – but, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Like I said, I think it's a lot – it hangs in the balance of Mac Jones as far as his year two jump. If he takes a big jump, gets them maybe a second round or AFC championship appearance, then that kind of solidifies Bill as, okay, this kid's got something. We're right there to where another year of building him up or getting another piece or two in the offseason, whatever it's going to take. But, yeah, I think this next year is going to show us a lot as far as what's going to happen there. I mean, the Jets – I mean, that division is going to be really interesting. Miami made a bunch of changes. They went on a 7-game win streak. They've shown that they can hang with anybody. The Jets handed a couple upsets to the Bengals and the Titans last year, so they can beat good teams. And obviously,
Jaguars, the Jaguars, they beat the Bills. AFC's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, and Bill. Like it gets to a point where you realize that there's a younger, more, a younger mind that can do things better than you, where your ways start to get outdated. I think he's getting close to that point, but he can obviously prove us wrong and go for another 10 years. You never know.
Yeah. From watching like the Man in the Arena doc, from what I got to see of what Belichick is like, all he cares about is that everybody on the team is there for the right reason. He doesn't care really how talented you are, how whatever. If you're a perfect fit for the team, if you're a great person, you'll help this team have an impact. And that's almost like what it has seemed like for so long. And he was able to redo that this offseason, spending how much money he did in free agency to keep that team how he wants it. And Mac Jones, like, fuck, like I said, I could see him going another 5 years, dude.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be,
because realistically, it's only gonna make Belichick look better now that the AFC is at the top of the how many fucking great quarterbacks are in the AFC now? On so many.
Yeah, I'd say probably 7 or 8 of the top 10 quarterbacks are in the AFC right now.
And going back to the dynasty of the Patriots up before Tom left, you really had Tom, Peyton, Eli.
Drew Brees.
Oh, yeah, Brees. But, yeah, AFC side, it was pretty weak. Quarterbacks. And now, fuck, Mahomes, Burrow. Like there's
Herbert.
There's so many. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, dude, there's so many great quarterbacks right now in the AFC. It's definitely gonna be a true test, especially if he can keep getting to the postseason, even. Like, fuck, you're almost 70 years old and you're still doing your thing. Like, yeah. That's crazy.
Moving over, I guess, then wrapping up NFL, going over to the NHL here. Talking about, again, one of the top teams in the NHL. They've been dominant, pretty much solidifying their trip to the postseason already. Kind of avoiding some drama last night. The Avalanche avoid another setback with Nathan MacKinnon, just came back from injury. I think last night, was that his first game back or his second game back?
He was back last week. So this, he's been back for a couple games.
Okay. Last night, for anybody who hasn't seen it, there was a point of the game where he swung his stick out of frustration and made contact with a linesman. The league reviewed it. He will not receive a suspension for his contact with an official in last night's 5-1 loss to Boston. Kind of looking at this situation, do you think this did warrant a suspension, or do you think the NHL did right by realizing it's just wrong place, wrong time situation with what happened?
I think the NHL did a really good job at this one, not assessing it. There has to be intent if you do make contact with an official to warrant a suspension, fine, whatever the case may be. I've seen it all too often, and I'm actually really surprised at the NHL, because it was a pretty hard swing. Obviously, they lost the faceoff, and he's just frustrated with how the game's going. I don't even think he realized what he was doing while he was doing it until it happened. And then all of a sudden he's like, shit, fuck, I hit him in the leg. And then all that, because he's been in some hot water. As about a month ago, he almost got suspended right before he went out. Kind of like a cheap hit on Nolan Patrick for the Vegas Knights. He kind of like jumped on him and lowered his shoulder into his head. And there's no suspension as well from that. So MacKinnon obviously has the league on his side because he is one of the top players in the game. I don't know how much that affects not getting a suspension or at least a fine or anything. I know that they do look at past incidents, and he's been a really clean player, a really good role model for the NHL. So wrong place, wrong time, but I'm glad the NHL got this right and isn't issuing him a suspension, as if you watch it a million times, you can really, like, you'd have to be out of your mind to almost think that it's on purpose.
Yeah, like, he was basically, like, in his block, like, if you didn't have gear on that was already blocking your vision, he was, like, a foot or two back from, like, his shoulder to where, like, if somebody's standing right here, I wouldn't be able to see him right now. You add a helmet on, like, that cuts that off even that much more. So, yeah, we're watching it. It was just, like, he didn't even see him there. It was just a swing out of frustration, and he hit him. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think NHL definitely did the right thing as far as not giving him a suspension. And as you said, just his – what he's done for the game, kind of being one of the top faces of the league, doesn't have a track record, anything like that, as far as long-term of his career being that kind of cheap guy to do these kind of things. So, yeah, obviously, again, like I said, if Avalanche avoiding a setback, as they just got him back recently, and they are looking to continue to run away in the Central. So, yeah, obviously, if they had missed him for a couple games, I mean, I don't think there's anybody that's really going to challenge him for it, but obviously, hindsight's always 20/20, to where if it does come to that point at the end of the season of, oh, we lost the one seed by 1 point, oh, we had MacKinnon out for 2 games because of this, it's like, oh, what if, always could have, should have, would have, but you won't have to worry about that because he still got the green light. So,
yeah, and then sticking with the other top team in the NHL here, Calgary Flames continue to roll, winning 10 straight now after their 3-1 victory yesterday. How many games do you think that they pull off in a streak in a row? And do you see them leaving the rest of this division in the dust?
Yeah, I know we were talking a little bit about the Pacific yesterday as far as Edmonton making a surge. Ducks and Kings still kind of on the heels, and then obviously Vegas still trying to hang on. Calgary now 10 wins straight. Kind of looking at when I think that their streak could end. I think it could very well happen in two of their next 3 games, one of them at least. They play the Canucks, which, I mean, not a pushover team, still kind of in the fight, but Flames should win that one. The next two games after that, though, they host the Wild and then turn around a couple days later and go to the Wild. So I think that there's a chance, again, with how well the Wild have been playing, that they lose one, at least one of those games. There's a chance they could lose both because again, with how well the Wild are playing right now. I'm going to say either, what is that? The 26th. So that's Saturday or next Tuesday. Or Tuesday the 1st. I don't know if that's next Tuesday. So yeah, either Saturday or Tuesday the 1st, I think that the Flames will have it ended. So either 11 or 12 games is kind of where the streak's going to end, I think.
Sounds good. Yeah, this team is rolling right now. Watching them, I don't think that there is a better team playing right now in the NHL. I see this streak going all the way till March 10th, maybe March 13th against Tampa or when they go to Colorado. I'm not worried about the first matchup with Colorado because they have a couple tough games coming up. But, yeah, I could see this maybe even going 20 games. That'd be so crazy for a team who's on such a long break, who was at the top of the standings and all of a sudden gets passed by all these teams. And then it's like, okay, now that we can actually play, we're coming. Mm-hmm. And all they've done is impress. This team looks like the real deal.
Yeah, and I mean, then if they do continue for, I'd say if they make it to 15 games, then they're kind of in that Colorado territory of wrapping up at least a playoff berth. Just because, I mean, they are just four points ahead, but they have two games to make up over Vegas. So given, again, the way that they've been playing, they make those two up, they're even, they're up 8 points. And then, like I said, if they go on a 15-win streak, at least, especially if Vegas kind of not playing terrible. I mean, 5-3-2 in their last 10 games. So anytime you're 5 games or more in your last 10, you're not in a concerned spot. But when the team ahead of you is winning night after night after night, anytime you slip up, that's 2 points you're falling behind every single night. So, I mean, it could be as early as next mid to end of next month that the Pacific is wrapped up, unless Vegas turns it around or, again, Kings, Canucks, Edmonton, one of those teams go on a surge as well.
Yeah, it's going to get interesting, especially, like I said, the trade deadline is closing in. Once that's kind of passed, it's kind of all teams are set. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Interesting leading up to when the deadline does take place here, as it's kind of been a different year as there's less games. Fuck, there's only 30 games left. Like, some of these teams, like Montreal, they're turning around winning. It's just like, how many seasons are they going to spoil now? Like, all these teams at the bottom are now playing spoilers. Like, my Flyers included. Yeah, it's going to be awesome to watch, I guess, kind of see how the rest of the season folds out.
For sure.
And yeah, thanks everyone for watching in today's episode of Offsides, where all the NFL, NHL news is brought to you by us. And we will be back tomorrow for another great episode. So please tune back in. We'll see you guys tomorrow.